Hi there, boys and girls. It's time for another Children's Bible Club meeting. Get near the radio and put on your listening ears and join us for a good meeting today with joyous singing and a good Bible story just for you. I'm Aunt Carolyn, and here are the kids in the Bible Club choir to start us off right today. Choir? Thanks, choir. That's good, rousing singing to warm our hearts and make us want to love and to praise the Lord Jesus Christ for all He's done for us. In this day when many boys and girls are thinking only of themselves and of what someone will give them or what someone will do for them, it's a blessing to know children who are thinking about the Lord and what they can give or do for Him or what they can do for someone else for the Lord's sake. Could you be that kind of boy or girl? What are you planning for today? Just time and things for yourself? Or something you can do to help or be a blessing to someone else? Perhaps you could rake the yard for an elderly neighbor, or make cookies for a sick friend, or help clean the church or weed the flower beds. Is someone in the hospital to whom you could be a blessing? Do you have a neighbor or friend who needs to be saved and needs you to tell them how? Jesus told His disciples, "As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." So, if you want to be treated well, then you make the first move. Start today and keep on going. Your family and the people you help will be blessed, and so will you. The song says, "Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine." Now, if every Bible Clubber listening today will shine like that, the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted and it'll make a difference in many hearts and lives. Now, choir, it's time for you to do your part and be a blessing again.
Shout for that man.
ready for today's story? King Solomon said, "There's nothing new under the sun." It's true. Since man first sinned, he keeps repeating the same evil over and over. It may take a different form, but the heart of it is still the same. Whether it's mutiny on the high seas, a riot in the streets, or a protest march, the root is the same: rebellion against authority. Moses had to deal with it too. The Israelites caused their own trouble because they disobeyed God, but they wouldn't admit it. Instead, they blamed Moses and accused him of pride. Korah, who was a prominent Levite, stirred up two other leaders, Dathan and Abiram, and soon they roused 250 princes of the tribes to such a state of anger and jealousy against Moses until griping turned into outright riot and rebellion. They stormed Moses, shouting, "You make yourself a ruler. You take too much on yourself. You take your authority too far. We're all holy. You aren't our boss. You just exalt yourself." Moses saw serious trouble and fell on his face. "No, no," he cried. "You take too much on yourselves. Tomorrow, bring your censers." That was a covered incense burner that swung on chains. "Put fire in them, and God will show who is holy." Well, morning came, and the rioters stood before the tabernacle, all except Dathan and Abiram. Moses sent for them to come, but they refused. They shouted false charges at Moses. The staunch rebels stood at their tent doors and bellowed, "No, we're not coming. You just want to rule us. You promised us a great land, but you've only brought us out into the wilderness to die. No, we won't come. So there." Whew! Moses was alarmed. He cried out to the Lord that he had never hurt them or taken anything from them. And God heard all this rage against his servant. "Stand back, Moses," God called. "Get away from them. I'll destroy them all." Then the meek Moses fell down and prayed for his enemies. "No, Lord, please don't kill everyone for one man's sin." So God, in mercy, ordered, "Get the people away from these wicked men's tents, lest they all be killed." Quickly, Moses and Aaron warned the thousands of onlookers. As they moved back from the rebel mob, Moses called out to them, "If these men die an ordinary death, you will know that the Lord has not sent me. But if the earth swallows them up, you will know that they have angered God." The words were no sooner out of Moses' mouth when the earth rumbled with a terrible heaving and groaning, and then spread open its jaws like giant, gaping, yawning jaws, and swallowed up Korah and all the men who had taken sides with him, their houses, their wives, their children, and everything they had. Screaming and shrieking in terror, they fell headlong into the horrible pit, and the earth closed over them, stifling their screams to silence as they were buried alive. The earth lay silent, its work complete. But the watching crowd fled in horror, lest they be devoured too. Then a great fire came from the Lord and consumed the 250 princes who had burned incense in disobedience to God. Nothing was left but their metal censers blackened in the fire. At God's command, Moses told the priest to take the censers out of the ashes, clean and pound the brass flat, and make broad plates to cover the altar. That brass always reminded the people that presuming authority was sin. No one was to offer incense before the Lord but those in Aaron's priestly line. Disobeying God brings judgment. The people stayed quiet in their tents that night, relieved to be alive. But by morning, the unrest stirred again. They bitterly accused Moses and Aaron, "You killed the Lord's people." and the crowd once more gathered against them at the tabernacle. What? Could they really believe that the death of all those rebels was Moses and Aaron's fault? Now God stepped in. Get away from these people, Moses. I'll consume them all at once. And Moses knew God could do it. He had consumed the hundreds of rebel priests and princes the day before. Quick, Aaron, he shouted. Take a censer from the altar and go through the congregation. Make atonement for them. God's wrath has gone out. The plague has begun. As fast as he could, Aaron ran with the censer and stood between those who were still alive and the dead bodies. Then the plague was stopped. It was a good thing, too, for by that time 14,700 people had already died from the plague, beside all those who had died in the uprising of Korah. Oh, why could the people not be satisfied to follow God's chosen leader? What judgment fell because of jealousy and disobedience and rebellion? And why can we not obey those whom the Lord puts over us? The Bible says, obey them that have rule over you. Parents, teachers, pastors, police, anyone God places over us. Judgment comes if we lift up ourselves and refuse to obey God's authority. God wants us to love Him with all our heart and obey His word at all cost. If we're to love and obey Him, we first must receive His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our only Savior, who gave His life to pay the ransom for our sin. He will give us a new heart to want to obey Him instead of demanding our own way. And now, God bless you. Until next time.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.